Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Stars Opinion, the Christian perspective. Welcome to my channel. If you are new here, welcome. If you are a returning listener or subscriber, welcome. And if you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel, Stars Conversations, go ahead and do so now. Thank you all for tuning in and listening to what I have to say when it comes to Christian culture, in my opinion. Okay, so I wanted to talk about something that I think that we all have experienced in our journey walking with God. And what I want to name this podcast is finding a way to engage God during times of disappointment. I know that's a long title, but I feel as though that when we are in our walk with Christ and our journey with Him, we have experienced disappointments, not because God has disappointed us, but we have an expectation of what we feel as though God should do. And when He doesn't meet the expectations that we have placed on Him, then we feel disappointed. And we think that He's going to work out a situation in the way that we have already worked it out in our minds. And when He does the complete opposite, or maybe He hasn't moved in the way that we think that He should move, or in a time manner that we think that He should move, then we have these disappointments. And so I wanted to speak about that because I feel as though that it is okay to express to God our disappointments, but in the aspect or in the context of, God, I really thought that this was going to work out this way, but it didn't work out this way. And I am disappointed in this, but I know that You are the God who sees everything. You know the beginning to the end. You are sovereign, and You know better than me because You are already in the future and You are in the past as well. Like, time does not define You. So Lord, I'm going to trust Your word over my wisdom, over my feelings. I think it is Peter. I think it's in 1 Peter. It says that God is greater than our feelings. So it's okay that we have these feelings, but we, in essence, have to bring them back into the authority of what Scripture says. So I think it is okay to let God know, like, I'm disappointed in this matter. I thought, you know, it was going to turn out or be different, but it is not. And, you know, I feel disappointed. And in His love and kindness and wisdom and compassion and mercy, He teaches us in these matters. And so we end up coming out better and stronger and more wiser because we yielded our hearts to His authority and His sovereignty. So I wanted to talk about, you know, finding a way to engage God during our times of disappointment. So if you're anything like me, when I am disappointed, it is hard for me to really pray. Sometimes I will just sit in silence, or sometimes I will make myself busy, or it's hard for me to read Scripture. I'm just like in a funk. And it's like, how do I engage God when I don't feel like praying? How do I engage God when I'm trying to read Scripture and it's just a heaviness on me? Or how do I engage God when I'm trying to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and it's just this heavy burden that's on me? I think that we can learn from David's experience. That's the word I want to use. We can learn from David's experience in the Psalms, where David tells the Lord, like, do You not hear me? Like, have You left me? But then he brings it back. But Lord, I know that You are faithful, right? So I think it is important that we take the example of the Psalms, where David is expressing his feelings of disappointment, but he still is engaging with God and worshiping Him to be able to get through the feelings that he is feeling. So I thought that was good. So I'm going to give some of the scriptures that I use when I am just trying to engage with God when I feel as though that I am disappointed in a situation that I thought that God was going to move one way and he didn't move the way that I thought he was going to move. So I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. And it says, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. So when I read the scripture, I thought about times of maybe not having the amount of resources that I want or I used to have, right? And so the Lord says that, how do you know that I am not teaching you to rely on me versus relying on your own ability to make these things happen? And then I thought about that. He says, how do you not know that the reason why I am allowing these things to happen is to keep you humble, right? Because as human nature, we can easily build ourselves up in pride. And we see here, Paul says that I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and to keep me from becoming proud. So God allows Satan to give a thorn in Paul's flesh to torment him. But in that torment, it was able to keep him from becoming proud. So we have to really look at our situation individually in the lens of the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to give us revelations of why we're going through the issues or the situations or circumstances that we're going through. And is this a thorn in my side to keep me humble, right? So I won't become proud. Because especially if you find yourself going through similar situations over and over again, or did I not pass the test? Or is this a situation to keep me on my knees praying, to keep me dependent on you and your word, right? So we need to be able to look and judge beneath the surface so we can give a righteous judgment and also examine our hearts and our motives and our lifestyle. We should constantly be examining our lifestyles according to the word to see if we are in a right alignment with God's way and his will. So another one I like to read, and this was actually something that I like to quote all the time, is Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 through 2. I'm sorry. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you would not be burned up. The flames would not consume you. So I like this scripture, and I like to put my name where it says, O Jacob. So, but now, O star, right? I like to put my name in it because I like to make it personal to me. And I like where it says that, O Israel, the one who forms you, God has formed me, right? It says, do not be afraid. So if you guys have been following me for some time now, I used to suffer from anxiety and fear really bad, just fear of the unknown, as far as I wanted to control every aspect of my life, because if I didn't have control of it, then it would bring on anxiety and fear. Well, if I don't do this, this is going to happen and that's going to happen, and I'm not going to be able to do this and I'm not going to be able to have this. So I had to learn to let God control my steps and let God control my life and let God lead me on the path of righteousness and to not be afraid. So this scripture really helps me, is because he's telling me not to be afraid, for I ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. He said, I have divinely chosen you to be holy. And so you are mine. I've called you by name. So when you are going through these deep waters and you feel like you are about to drown, I believe I told God that one time, like, I feel like I'm drowning. Every time I put my head above water, it's like another wave of water is coming and I'm just drowning. And he gave me this, that I will be with you in deep waters. I will be with you when you go through rivers of difficulty. Lord, I just got to ride the wave, because I don't know if I'm coming or going. Am I in disobedience? Have I done something that's not pleasing to you? Why is this situation? It seems as though it is getting worse and worse, and it's not getting better. And I feel like that I am being placed through the fire. It's like, you know how some people be like, if it's not one thing, there's another thing. And so I used to tell God, like, if it's not one thing, there's another thing. You get saved, for instance, right? You get your tires fixed on your car, and you barely had enough money to pay for that. And so now you get your tires fixed on your car. And so after that, then, you know, now, you know, you got to get your, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say engine, but it could be that, right? I mean, something else is going wrong with your car. And it's like, I just paid for this and now this happened. Or maybe, you know, your carburetor comes out. I don't know. You know, you guys get what I'm trying to say. And so it's like, if it's not one thing, it's another. It's like back to back. I need a period of rest. And I believe that's what Elijah felt when he, after he had the battle, if the battle of the prophets, when he was like, Lord, I the only one left, and I told your people what you told me, and like, just kill me now. And he had that period of rest, and then the Lord said, meet me at the mountain. You know, sometimes we can ask God, like, I just need a break, because it's like I'm trying to hold on, but it's like one thing after another. It's like I jump from the fire to the frying pan, right? So another scripture I would like to give you guys is Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 through 19. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do, for I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. So sometimes we could look at our lives and say, it's just a dry wasteland. You know, I need more money. I need overtime, or the overtime that I'm working is not satisfying the needs that I have, or I have this mountain of debt that I need to take care of. I'm not making, you know, I think sometimes for the average person, most of our problems is that money, as far as like not having enough to do what we desire. And I'm not talking about someone who has poor money management skills. I'm talking about for people who are just living day by day. They don't want the fancy cars. They just want to be able to live, right? And so we are talking about someone who is just, I pay my tithes, or I give to the poor, I read my Bible, I live holy, you know, I save my money, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do. And it seems as though it is just getting worse and worse. But he says, don't you see that I'm doing something new? Like, forget all about all of that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do for you, right? I am about to do something new. So he's doing a new thing in every season that he takes us through. He's doing something new inside of us, right? He's building our strength. He's calling us to go into a deeper place of worship and intimacy with him. Because if we don't go through any trials, then how many of us can just really be honest with ourselves and say, oh, you know, everything is good. You know, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And then we go on about our day. But when it is when that we go through various trials and tribulations that causes us to read our Bibles more, that causes us to pray more, that causes us to spend time with God more. So I like that. He says, I'm doing something new. And so another scripture that I like is Isaiah 41, verse 10. Don't be afraid, right? Again, I used to suffer from anxiety and fear. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged. It could be very discouraging when you're doing your best to live for God, and it's just like everything is just chaotic in your world. For I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will hold you with my victorious right hand. So I learned a lot of spiritual warfare just by going through various trials and quoting scriptures that, Lord, I know you said that you will strengthen me and help me, that you will hold me by your right hand. So I have no need to fear because you are with me. Like, that's how I pray. And so Isaiah 41, verse 13. For I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord, your God, and I say to you, do not be afraid, for I am here to help you. I'm like, Lord, help me. I know you are here to help me. I don't need to be afraid, right? So this is just dealing with a lot of fear. I'm disappointed and I'm fearful of my future, but you're telling me that I have no reason to be afraid. And then, of course, the one that everyone likes to use is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 through 31. Oh, Jacob, how can you say that the Lord does not see your troubles? Again, I like to make it personal for myself. So I say, oh, star, how can you say that the Lord has not seen your troubles? Like, do you see me? Do you see me? Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Oh, star, how can you say that God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? Like, you never heard, you never understood. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. Lord, you're so wise, I can't even measure the depths of your understanding. I don't know why I'm going through this, but Lord, you know why. Be with me. Give me strength, right? He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. I am weak, but you are strong because your grace is sufficient for me. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. So I like this translation, which is the New Living Translation, because most translation says that those who wait on the Lord. And so we're like, okay, I'm waiting. But a better translation is, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. Lord, I trust you. It's hard for me to trust you. I don't know where I'm going. This is new territory for me, but I trust you. I think about Peter when he says, Lord, if it's really you, bid me to walk out on water. And so he trusted Jesus enough to ask him, bid me to walk out on water. And he had the faith to walk on water. But when he lost his focus on focusing on Jesus and he focused on the winds and the waves around him, that's when he began to drown, right? And so Jesus replied to him, oh, Peter, a little faith, why did you doubt, right? When we doubt, it's because we don't have our full trust in him. So I like that this translation has, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. And so then it goes on to say, they will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So even though I am feeling weary, I will run, right? Because the Lord strengthens me because I trust in him. Even though I might be feeling faint, but I will walk and not faint because I trust in the Lord, because he has gave me new strength. Even though that I feel like that I can't fly, I'm going to soar on high on wings like eagles. Why? Because the Lord, he's carrying me by his right hand. So those are just some examples that I use on how to engage God when feeling disappointment, right? I love to listen to worship music that edifies, that builds me up, and I sing to God. And so as I begin to sing to God, then he starts to give me these scriptures, and then I quote the scriptures, and then when I begin to quote the scriptures, I start to feel enlightened, and then I'm able to pray, right? Or sometimes I might need to listen to a sermon. So whatever you need to do, whether it's prayer, and if you can't pray, read scripture. If you can't read scripture, music is always the go-to, right? Listen to worship music that edifies, that's going to usher in the presence of God. And then say sometimes you might not feel like listening to music. Put on a sermon that has encouraged you in the past. And so when you do those things and you're being intentional on trying to get into the presence of God, He will meet you right where you are. So that's my opinion about how to engage God in moments of disappointment, is that, you know, we could read scripture, we could pray, listen to a sermon, listen to music. And sometimes it's just okay to lay down and let the scriptures play, right? The Holy Spirit will minister to you in that. Sometimes you don't even need to say a word, you know, just lay there and say, Lord, help me. And He will start to engage you in that. But try something, whether, again, a sermon, music. You can let your Bible app play while you lay there, right? Or while you are cleaning up or whatever you are doing. And so sometimes our disappointments, it's just our expectations of what we think what God should do. But God's ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so we have to understand that He is the good shepherd, and He gives good gifts to His children. And if you are His child, He has given you good gifts. So that's all I have to say. Let me know what you guys think in the comments about this podcast. I know it's a little bit long, but I hope it was able to encourage you. And do not forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the channel. And let's have the conversation in the comments below. Bye.